God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in DC, let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. He spoke. He said, let there be light. And because we believe, we speak about the happenings in the world, we remain mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. Welcome to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We will absolutely get into what the business calls the news of the day. What is that? Because from a kingdom perspective, I was really pondering that question last night. I've no doubt that God is watching everything. He's the God who sees. I'm sure he's watching what's happening in Israel. He knows the motives of all men. He knows what's happening in Gaza and Ukraine. He knows the motives. Everything whispered in the dark will one day be shouted from the rooftops. There's no secrets in heaven. And I wonder to God, what is the news of the day? To a being, an eternal being that has always existed, who will always exist, exists now and will forever exist, the creator of all things, self-existent. What's the news of the day? Is it wars? I don't know that that's new. In fact, I am sure it's not, because just this morning in my devotionals, I was reading about the death of King Saul, which came after a series of wars, and there'll be more wars. And we're warned of wars and rumors of wars, so I can't imagine that. There's nothing that surprises God. Nothing at all. At no point does God say, wow, I didn't see that one coming. So what is the news of the day from the perspective of the Lord? I imagine it has to do with who has come back to him. I imagine it has to do with what are his saints doing? How are we making disciples? I imagine it has to do with the hurt of seeing people not just turn away from him, but hate him. He is an entity who loves us. And he's an entity who does have feelings. How do we know this? Because we read of them. We see that in the person of the Lord Jesus, expressed the word become flesh. So as I'm pondering this, thinking, does God even imagine, does God even think of the news of the day when he sees all eternity before him and all eternity behind him? I can't imagine that he does. So as I'm thinking from a kingdom perspective and I'm looking at the news of the day, the phrase in the business, I read that population rate decline in the United States, this is from Fox News, triggers economic alarms from experts. Calamitous effect. The CDC data shows birth rates fell by 22% since 2007. Indeed. Well, people are being told that being a parent be the last thing you'd want to do. And incidentally, a lot of people are looking at the world the way it is right now and saying, why would I bring a kid into this? Oh, there is, in fact, the stuff the CDC doesn't want to talk about, which is that they are destroying the ability for a lot of people to have kids. They've done that with the modified RNA injections. And I think we talked about, and if we didn't, we will talk about the fact that apparently you can now sue if you were injured by these things. In Idaho, we just lost a 36-year-old sheriff's deputy. He had a massive heart attack. I saw a picture of him. He looked like the picture of health. He moved here from Hawaii. I am fairly certain he was forcibly injected in Hawaii to keep his job, but no one forced him. That's what we would hear. I got to believe that that's on God's radar. I know he sees. He sees all. But would he consider that the news of the day? The decline in population, be fruitful and multiply. And the CDC on the one end, putting out data showing that's not happening. On the other end, they're preventing it from happening. Not just with the modified RNA injections, but also, of course, by chemical and surgical mutilation of children. And we could mention some other things in our society that's made that difficult. God sees that as well. I know that God sees all. We know this. But in terms of the news of the day, I wonder where this lands for God. The scene is a college campus. There is a preacher. Both people, by the way, you're going to hear in this video, primarily the two people are two black people, a black man and a black young woman. You'll hear eventually a white police officer arrive. So the scene is a college campus. The preacher is preaching. And it's not fire and brimstone, by the way. He's preaching God's love. God loves you. And onto the stage area, or at least the rise in this in a college square, up under the steps, arrives a young woman.
How you doing, young lady?
And I can tell you something else. I had an abortion 2 years ago, and I don't regret it at all. They yanked the fetus out of my uterus. And I'm so happy.
Okay.
I'm so grateful.
Okay.
And I'm a professor at this university.
Okay.
And I make more money than you.
Okay.
And what else?
We'll pray for you. Okay, we'll pray the Lord save you.
Thank you.
Okay, no problem. I wish I knew your name so we can know where to pray. Well, either way,
mm-hmm.
Your soul. Either way, your soul.
Kind of an
What makes me that?
You kind of ruined everybody's lunch. They're like,
sorry.
Took the cord out.
Yeah, I took the cord out. Yeah,
because
you won't give me my mic back. Please,
okay.
Please give me my mic back, please.
She has
please
his microphone. Lady.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Have a good day, okay? You're not stronger than me, all right? God bless you.
God bless you.
Hey,
officer. This young lady, she's trying to rip my stuff up.
Oh, I'm assaulting her.
She's assaulting. She's taking his stuff.
So you need to let go right now or you're under arrest. Walk away right now.
I already said I was going to let it go. I have a question for you, Boris. Am I assaulted by holding this court?
Can I get myself? Can I get myself, ma'am?
We'll go talk, but we're going to do it over here.
Can I ask a question?
Of course.
Go ahead.
But let go right now.
Is this assault?
Let go right now.
Yes or no?
Let go right now.
Yes, no. Yes or no?
You're under arrest.
Put your hands behind you. We pray for the grace of God for you.
And I do too. And do you? It's hard, I know, because she's celebrating the death of a tiny human. Yanked it out of my fetus and yanked it out of my uterus and I celebrated. Is that the news of the day to the Lord? I mean, there is no day to him, as we understand him. Always existed, always will exist. Is that a heartbreak for him? I have to believe it is. Well, why would he prohibit it? Why would God say, you shall not murder, if it didn't hurt him? Well, it hurts us. And he loves us. He loves her. So would that be the news of the day from a kingdom perspective? Well, she's just one girl, except she's not. The trick that Satan has played in the pro-abortion crowd is, shout it. It's not a regret. Shout it. Well, it's almost like a religious ceremony. No, that doesn't surprise God either. We are dealing with forces that are clearly spiritual, and we're dealing with a world where we live. We're not citizens here. We're citizens of heaven. We're visitors here. On the topic of the news of the day, House Republicans are getting ready to vote for a speaker for a third time. They're going to do this on a secret and anonymous ballot. Amongst the people being considered is a guy who worked for George Soros or worked with George Soros. And by the way, wants to tear apart the Electoral College system. We talked about this yesterday. I wonder how this lands with the people who are, well, with God. In terms of news of the day, this is Mitch McConnell talking about the war in Ukraine.
It's all interconnected.
And you've said that you believe there is enough oversight of aid to Ukraine. Why hasn't that persuaded some members of the Republican caucus?
If you look at the Ukraine assistance, let's talk about where the money is really going. A significant portion of it's being spent in the United States in 38 different states. Replacing the weapons that we sent to Ukraine with more modern weapons. So we're rebuilding our industrial base.
That's what President Biden's seeking to do.
It's correct. No Americans are getting killed in Ukraine. We're rebuilding our industrial base. The Ukrainians are destroying the army of one of our biggest rivals. I have a hard time finding anything wrong with that.
I wonder if God concurs. I wonder if God hears that explanation and says, yeah, okay, then that's just war. Because you're rebuilding your industrial base. Fascinating that Mitch McConnell, who has made so much money in clear partnership with the Chinese Communist Party, I'm not saying that he partners with them. I'm saying you don't do business at that level in China without the permission of the Chinese Communist Party. Well, for that matter, you don't do international business here without the permission of people like Mitch McConnell. And suddenly he's deeply concerned about our manufacturing base. That's not a good enough reason for me to go to war. I don't know about you. Jobs. There'd be other ways to get jobs. So they're going to try to ram through another $105 billion in spending, $60 billion for Ukraine, about $14 billion for Israel, because, of course, Israel is Ukraine and Ukraine Israel, and then about $60 billion, or some pork, just to buy some votes. I wonder if that's the news of the day from God's perspective. You're about to hear in the next segment good portions of a speech that a guy did at an event we held in outside of Seattle, and the event was called God Wins. His name is Joe Kent. Joe is a Special Forces vet. I believe he did 6 deployments. He has come to explain war in a way that to which I would have not responded when I was a young man. I would have looked at this and said, wow, what happened to him? Is he still a patriot? He is. He views war from a very, very unique perspective.
A month after he gave that order, my late wife and 3 other Americans were killed by a suicide bomber. I actually was overseas at the time working in the CIA. I wasn't in Syria, but I was somewhere else in harm's way. And I realized at that moment that I almost gave the enemy an opportunity to make my sons orphans. So I decided then and there that I needed to resign from getting shot at for a living and return home and really just focus on my boys. They were 1 and 3 when she was taken away from us. So I figured, hey, I was done serving my country abroad. I'd figure out the rest later. Wanted to move back to the Northwest to get my kids closer to my parents. I had a brief opportunity to meet with President Trump at Dover. And I just shared with him essentially, you know, what I shared with you guys. I said, hey, you don't know who I am, but I've been fighting these wars since they began. I just came off my 11th combat deployment, and you're getting the foreign policy right in a way that no other president has. We don't need to be involved in endless wars. We need to address threats when they pop up. We can never show weakness on the world stage. Otherwise, the world looks kind of like it does right now. And so I just wanted to share with him that I appreciated the way that he valued our lives and the way that he was putting America first with his foreign policy, but also to let him know that we had bureaucrats that were actively working against him. I figured he already knew all this, and he was kind of just humoring me when I had the opportunity to actually speak with him. But a few weeks later, I returned back home, and I got a phone call from one of Trump's advisors, and they said, hey, we don't know what you said to the boss, but he wants to hear more. Will you come back out to D.C. and chat with us? So went back out there, had an opportunity to kind of give my 2 cents on counterterrorism in the Middle East, those types of things. Worked heavily on the Trump 2020 campaign, and then 2020 happened. We all know the story there.
We do. And forgive me, Joe Kent, for misrepresenting the number of deployments. It's 11, as you heard. He's running to be a congressman in Washington State in the 3rd District. He had to drag the party, the Republican Party, had to be dragged over the line to actually support him. They were flirting with running someone more palatable, someone who doesn't respect President Trump's foreign policy. When I think about God's view of the news of the day, and I understand, and you do too, that God sees all, knows all, he knows how everything ends, what rises to that level for him? Is there anything? Well, we are not God. We are the servants of the Lord Jesus. Those of us who have agreed to serve him, to be changed by him, have been baptized, are on mission with him, consider him our Lord and Savior. I think if I were to just guess, I think he might be saying, are you feeding my sheep? Because my sheep have been wandering, and are you tracking the strays? Are you bringing them back? I have to believe that that would be God's focus. And in effort to do that, I want to share with you how my views on war have changed. And we'll do this through the rest of the speech that Joe Kent gave. That's next on A Disciple's View. I'm Todd Herman. We'll be right back. Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Appreciate you being part of the American Family Radio family, really. We have an audience of one, that's God, and a family of many, that's you. First time this happened, this was super cool. I met an AFR listener to the show in person, happens to be a friend of mine. But he had traveled back, the AFR network, 184 radio stations. And I live out west, not as many radio stations out here, but so many back east and in the southwest, and just so well populated. And my friend Kurt heard the program while he was traveling, and we had dinner, and he said, I got to hear an AFR, and he lived in Ohio. So it was really good for him to be able to hear that, and great for me to meet people. There'll be events where we'll get to go meet each other, and I look forward to those. I just premiered in the last segment discussion about just the words of a guy named Joe Kent. And Joe is an American combat veteran, and he's running for Congress. Joe is a guy that's interesting to me because of how he speaks about war. And having been a guy who's been through multiple deployments, he was Army Special Forces. And I think it was six deployments that Joe Kent went on behalf of his country, our country. So he doesn't have anything to prove to us in terms of his bona fides, in terms of serving the country and John 3:16, being willing to lay down his life for his brothers and sisters. He lost his wife in combat. She also served the country. And you heard, if you heard the last segment, you heard that. What is fascinating to me is what's happening in America, and I do not believe what's happening in America in terms of views on war. I do not believe that conservatives like Joe Kent have suddenly become leftist hippies saying war is never the answer. I believe what has occurred is that people who are connected to the vine of Christ can so clearly see the lies. We talked about this last week. When the figurehead Biden said Ukraine and Israel are the same thing, he's lying. When they say that we have to go to war in Ukraine to defend national sovereignty, no, you're lying. You don't care about national sovereignty. We see right here in America, you don't care about that. Well, it's for human life that Putin's taking human life. The CDC and pharma killed probably 250,000 people in this country with the injections. No, you don't care about human life. I can use the example of abortion. No, you don't care about human life. I think that's what's happening, is that I believe God has peeled back the curtain on what we're willing, what we can see in the pseudo temple of Washington, D.C. So I had Joe speak. I was honored to have him speak in an event we held in Washington State, a separate country thereof. The entire speech will be up on my podcast later this week at thetoddhermanshow.com or wherever you get podcasts. If you just go to Apple iTunes or Spotify or wherever and subscribe to The Todd Herman Show, you'll end up getting this podcast that you can have, and you can hear the whole thing. These are bits of Joe's speech. He talked about a reason that he believes President Trump had to be moved out of the way by professional Republicans.
We had been involved in that fight in Syria. We had been involved in that fight against ISIS for quite a while, but we had actually achieved our goals. Our stated goal was to take away all the ground that ISIS controlled. And when we accomplished that mission, the unit that my wife was a part of, when they accomplished that mission, President Trump did something very significant. He did something that no president prior to him had done. He said, hey, we met our objective. We're going to get our troops out. That's what he ran on. That's what the promise he was trying to fulfill to the American people. And that's when we saw the apparatus, the deep state, the administrative state, whatever you want to call them, unelected bureaucrats who weren't selected by any of us. They weren't part of the democratic process. They went against President Trump and they said, no, we know better than you. We know better than all the American people. We want to leave our troops in Syria. Our mission here isn't done. And that mission was basically just to continue to line the pockets of the military-industrial complex. They didn't want the gravy train to end. They wanted us deeply involved in Iraq and Syria and Afghanistan. And now we're seeing the war drums beat once again back in the Middle East, but also in Europe, because really war is just one big massive way for the administrative state to take our taxpayer dollars and send it overseas where it really can't be accounted for, and then to put it right back into their coffers. And President Trump was an affront to that. He wasn't part of that process, and so he wanted to get our troops out of those wars.
The establishment in the separate country of Washington had to support Kent. Joe Kent defeated the incumbent, Jamie Herrera Butler, who voted to impeach President Trump. And it's so sad. I met Jamie when she was a young woman, and I could tell she was in politics. I shook her hand at an event in Colorado. She waited in line to meet me. I was running digital for the RNC at the time. And I shook hands with her and I said, "So when are you running for office?" And she laughed. She said, "How did you know that?" I said, "By the way you hold yourself, by the way you stood in line, by your posture, by the fact that you have a business card ready for me, by the way you look." And for a while, Jamie was very good, but she got seduced. And she got seduced into being part of D.C. and no longer part of her district. The third district's a pretty conservative district. Joe Kent was outspent about 10-1 in the race to be in Congress and lost. He's running again. And may God deliver him to victory this time. So he talks about his realization that, wait, we're not here to catch terrorists. And by the way, when you hear the whole speech, you'll hear him describe where he was when he realized, oh, wait, so we're not here to kill and capture terrorists? That's not the extent of our mission? It's quite a thing to hear, particularly from a conservative Republican. Again, as no one can challenge Joe on the patriotism front. He also talked about and compared our border situation to, well, the dangerousness of Iraq and Afghanistan, places he knows all too well.
We don't have any security on our border. We've had at least 6 million folks come into our country that we have no idea who the heck they are. So I personally believe that we will be very lucky if we do not experience a terrorist attack because of what's come across our southern border. 9/11 was conducted by just a handful of well-trained individuals who penetrated our country legally, but they exploited our immigration system. It's the untold story of 9/11 is basically how tight immigration control could have prevented the entire attack.
Right. And the fact is, he concurs with every single Special Forces person I talked to that day. My friend Michael Rourke did not take the main stage. He doesn't do that. He spoke at a private briefing. He's retired Special Forces and an international security consultant. You heard Mike last week say that Hamas is here and what they're doing here. And that they're not yet direct action cells, meaning they're not yet freed up to go kill people and blow things up. But they can be freed to do that. My friend Tim Cruikshank, 25-year Navy veteran, Navy SEAL, he says the same thing. Yes, they're here. Yes, they have cells set up. Yes, they can become direct action cells. So Joe Kent, again, congressional, running for Congress in the separate country of Washington, 3rd District to be precise. He's, I think, 6 deployments in Special Forces. Joe Kent talks about the business model that our open borders allows our enemies to take advantage of.
Not only have we had 6 million, we think, people come into our country, we've also had enough fentanyl trafficked into our country to kill every American multiple times over. We've lost over 100,000 Americans. Our fellow citizens have been murdered by fentanyl overdoses. And the fentanyl, it's brought across the border by the Mexican drug cartels. The ingredients, the precursors, are coming from the Chinese Communist Party. This isn't just, oh, Americans are addicted to drugs. Yeah, that's an issue. This is an unconventional assault on our nation. You don't take America on head on. We've got a very sophisticated military. If you want to bring our country down, you target our economy, but you also target our people through asymmetrical means. Pumping fentanyl across our southern border, we've left that open, and so now our enemies are exploiting it.
I would add to this that China joins the World Health Organization, which in fact China runs the World Health Organization, one of Bill Gates, that they have been part and parcel of conning kids into believing that they're the opposite sex. Why? Because it destabilizes the country. Oh, and incidentally, those kids who get chemically and surgically mutilated end up being captive to pharma for life to maintain the illusion of being the opposite sex. Where is that pharmaceutical stuff made? Largely China. It's asymmetrical. Joe Kent said that well, but it's symmetrical. They're making money at bringing the country down. Oh, by the way, they also back the perverse pornographic sex ed in our schools, the World Health Organization in China. And they don't want this stuff in China. They want it here. Why? Because it destabilizes the country. Because it creates a group of kids who've been taught to hate God's design. We're made male and female. Male and female were made. In God's image we're made. Not when pharma vandalizes you. China promotes critical race theory in this country. Why? Because it teaches kids to hate their neighbors. Right up against the word of God. It all is. So Joe Kent, running for Congress, again, Special Forces, I believe six deployments. He talked about another way that our enemies are being helped by the absentee, mentally absent man, who sadly demented, the figurehead Biden.
After Joe Biden got done opening up the border the first minute he came into office, the next thing he did was he killed off the Keystone XL pipeline and he stopped issuing exploratory drilling permits. And this is another place where we get hit twice here in Washington State. So Biden drove the cost of gas way up, made us dependent on the world's worst actors. So we're back to being dependent on the OPEC nations in the Middle East. So now suddenly we have a potential of being sucked deeply back into a conflict in the Middle East because we've allowed ourselves to be dependent on their oil again.
And when we're dependent on their oil, understand the noose that tightens, that can tighten. So obviously, you know, and we all know they can turn the oil off. Well, it doesn't mean that we just start right back up here. Right, producing our own, it takes a process. They've drained the strategic oil reserves. Now, Joe had just mentioned the fentanyl. Let me point something else out. There are about 90 million Americans who are on psychotropic drugs through pharmacies. So antidepressants, anti-anxiety meds. There's a huge lie about serotonin imbalances and serotonin reuptake problems that pharma pulled off. There's no proof that that actually exists. I'm aware that some people are helped by these drugs. I am fully aware of that. If they have helped you, God bless you. May they not harm you. And China manufactures so much of this that you want to see asymmetrical warfare? If, God forbid, our bosses, the nation's bosses, push us into World War III, and China, they brought their ships over to off the coast of Israel to try to balance ours. If, God forbid, we enter war, you know what China could do? They could say, hey, you know what? We're not going to make your antidepressants anymore. We're going to make people live without them. Can you imagine what that would do to this country with that many people on these drugs? Joe Kent, running for Congress in the 3rd District in Washington State, separate country of Washington, talked about something else. It's his biggest fear of Republicans in relation to Republicans. He has one major fear.
And I got to tell you, my biggest fear as a candidate running in Washington State in 2024, it's Republican apathy. And we all know, right, you guys are out here on a Tuesday night, and God bless you, I really appreciate you being here. So I know I'm not talking to you, but you guys all know people in your personal lives that just say, hey, my vote doesn't matter. You know that you share values with them. You'd send your kids over to their house. You see them at church. These are great conservatives. But there are so many conservatives in our state that have just checked out. There's a lot of people that are looking at, you know, real estate in Idaho and Montana and Florida, and I get that. I understand that. If you've got a kid that's in these systems and you need to pull them out, you got to do what's best for your kid. No fault there. But if we don't stay and fight, this evil will follow you, and there'll be nowhere left to go.
It's a strong point. Incidentally, Joe is commenting on me. I get it. I understand. I understand his position because we had to move our family out of the separate country of Washington because our daughter at that point was involved in the teen mental health system. And there are no parental rights in that state. He's also addressing our mutual friend, Julie Barrett, with Conservative Ladies of America. Julie is a dear friend of mine. She's a partner in helping me with my podcast. And Julie had to relocate because her kids were in the mental health system. And in fact, one of her daughters was medically kidnapped prior to it being legal. She was kidnapped by a homeless shelter and held against Julie's will, even though that shelter had absolutely no legal basis by which to hold that girl. They wouldn't give Julie information. Julie called. They didn't tell her daughter that mom was calling and worried about her. They didn't say any of that. You know what they did do? They started the process of getting the girl a lawyer so she could be emancipated. Well, so she could live with family other than her mom, right? No. So the shelter could get paid for housing this girl. Oh, here's the part that they didn't say, is that girl has had borderline personality disorder for most of her life. If you've ever dealt with someone who has BPD, it is horrific. It can be treated. There's a lot of new great therapeutic techniques, but it's not particularly respondent to pharma. In fact, pharma often makes things worse. I beg you to stay as far away from putting your kids on pharma if you possibly can. You know how Julie got her kid out of there? She called the cops. The police went to the Paul G. Allen Hope Center and asked, we want to interview the girl. They said, no, you can't come in. When the police finally said, we're coming in, they brought seven cops. People at the Paul G. Allen Hope Center still tried to keep them out. But the cops said, hey, open the door or we'll break it. When they were bringing Julie's daughter out, the young leftist who ran that clinic, that center, rather, it's not a clinic, screamed, remember, you don't have to talk to the pigs. Oh, by the way, they continued to try to get her a lawyer, even when she was in the hospital. That's the separate country of Washington, and that's why Joe Kent's running for office. We'll come back with the Tower babbling. This is The Disciples' View. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman, and thank you for supporting AFR. Your financial support is an insurance policy against being canceled. Very difficult to cancel us when we have an audience of one, that's God Almighty, and a family of many, that's you. There was a great interview Tucker Carlson performed with a gentleman who wrote a book called Crime, Inc. I'm far more interested, actually, in that gentleman's commentary about the black society and George Floyd's. His name is Vince Everett Ellison. Than I am the George Floyd death. And I'll explain why. Nothing about the George Floyd death is going to change. The party, Democrats, establishment media are so invested in the Floyd narrative, nothing can change. George Floyd was a walking and talking tragedy. And he was a tragedy for people who ran into him. He was a criminal. He was a sad, sad human being, spiritually captured. Of course, I pray for his family. And of course, I would pray for George Floyd. It was just an incredibly sad man. Tucker Carlson's program revealed, in Tucker's opinion, that it's now demonstrable proof that George Floyd did not die because of what Derek Chauvin did or didn't do. A doctor I truly respect, named Dr. Pierre Corey, differs greatly on this. Dr. Pierre Corey is a truth teller, a COVID truth teller, and that's cost him. So he's a guy who's willing to speak truth despite the fact that it can destroy careers. Pierre Corey was one of the medical experts at the trial, and he does believe that the actions of the officers led to the death of Chauvin, and specifically putting him on his stomach in a prone position. And that's a difficult position to breathe in, is Pierre Corey's opinion. It's also his opinion that Floyd, having been a lifelong drug user, wasn't particularly high for him. For him, for an ordinary person who'd not sadly spent their life under the boot of heroin and then fentanyl, we would probably be dead. We would be dead from that level of stuff. So Pierre Corey differs from the Tucker Carlson report. Tucker Carlson's relied on some documents from a court case that's unconnected to the death of Floyd, and yet reveals that one of the medical examiners said, yeah, his windpipe wasn't crushed. There was no actual damage to him. He wasn't choked out. It wasn't a knee on his neck that killed him. And from that, Tucker draws the conclusion that George Floyd wasn't in fact killed by the actions or inactions of the officers. The inaction being not taking him off his stomach and letting him up. Well, George Floyd led to that because of his history and his initial resistance to police. I remain convinced that the jury shouldn't have convicted the officers because I feel that it's inconclusive. For me, I wouldn't have been able to conclude that this was the result of these officers' actions or inactions. And it's far too serious to sentence people to life in prison for this. That it was something that Vince Everett Ellison, author of Crime Inc., said to Tucker about the many, many George Floyds in society.
If you think that the Democratic Party is great, let them come to Detroit. Let them come to Chicago. Let them come to St. Louis. Let them come to L.A., Portland, Seattle, Memphis. Anywhere where they rule, you'll see George Floyds all over the place. And they're proud of them. In Baltimore, Maryland, they spend $21,000 per child for every child up there inside the school district. Not one school is proficient in math, science, or reading. But they keep it going every year. Why? Because they're producing George Floyd.
George Floyd's vote for the Democratic Party.
I think it's a perfect point. And in fact, in the separate country of Seattle, they've now done away with AP classes. They've done away with academic awards because it was unfair to black students. They've done away black students in the Seattle. This is a true story. They don't have to come to class on time. They don't have to do homework. Because that's a white construct. Those are white constructs. I always marvel at this. How did black tribes in Africa organize hunts for food if being on time is a construct of the whites? How did they teach their kids the things that tribal leaders taught them if listening and paying attention is a construct of the whites? It's almost like we're leaning into our feature where we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise humans on tall towers of shaking sand with a feature we call the Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
Who doesn't love a yellow school bus?
Trans women are women, trans men are men, and non-binary people are non-binary.
If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money.
The Tower of Babbling.
In one way, this is just an excuse for me to tell you a story about this woman. In another, it's an indication of how seriously Sheila Jackson Lee takes her role as defender of those, the least of these. By the way, you know, in relation to God, we're all the least of these, right? This is some leaked audio of Sheila Jackson Lee, Congresswoman Lee, the great woman, and she's talking here to a staff member.
Your job was to get it on the calendar, imprint it in your brain, or send me the information back saying, Congresswoman, I made sure that the Ovide Duncan Tell event that you gave me for so-and-so date at 7 is on the calendar, not to, oh, Jerome has it. Okay? So when I called Jerome, he gonna be sitting up there like a fat, stupid idiot talking about what he doesn't know. Okay? Both of y'all are F. It's the worst that I could ever have put together. Two idiots serve no purpose. Ain't managing nobody. Nobody's respecting them. Nobody gives about what you're doing. And you ain't doing. And this is an example of it.
Remember, this woman was very concerned about President Trump's manner of speech. Oh, by the way, about Sheila Jackson Lee, I was in a meeting at the Republican National Committee in my office, and there was this car that had been running outside. It was a cold day, but it had been running for about an hour in the alley between my office and this apartment building. And we were all wondering, who would do that? It's running for an hour. And it was a town car. And then all of a sudden, out of the building comes the great lady herself, Sheila Jackson Lee, and gets into that car. And I said, film this. Please get out and film this. And she drove, I'm not kidding you, 3 blocks. And that car pulled into the parking place for the congressional building. I think it's Longworth there. The great lady got out and went in to vote. The car kept running. The vote that day was about cap and trade. global warming. That was the that car stayed running until the great lady needed it. How do we know? We asked the driver. Hey, you know, what's this like driving congresspeople around? Good job. They pay you well. And you just keep the car running for them. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Miss Lee likes the car warm. That's the first story in the Tower of Babel. Second features Nikki Haley. In a country where 8 million people have been allowed to traipse across our border and we have no idea who they are, in a country where the 9/11 hijackers got in on a legal basis, the San Bernardino killers, we are told by Nikki Haley, oh, we've got no problem figuring out who the Hamas members are if we take in a bunch of Palestinian refugees.
You know, I dealt with this every day for 2 years. And, you know, what I can tell you is you have to realize that whether we're talking about Gazans and Palestinians, you know, all of them don't, you've got half of them at the time that I was there didn't want to be under Hamas's rule. They didn't want to have terrorists overseeing them. They knew that they were living a terrible life because of Hamas. You had the other half that supported Hamas and wanted to be a part of that. We see that with Iran too. The Iranian people don't want to be under that Iranian regime. They don't. We saw what happened to Mahsa Amini. We saw how they treat them. There are so many of these people who want to be free from this terrorist rule. They want to be free from all of that. And America's always been sympathetic to the fact that you can separate civilians from terrorists. And that's what we have to do.
You can be as sympathetic as you want to be, but we've been absolutely unsuccessful at it. Because the enemy, Hamas, is using immigration as a weapon. Please look at Paris. Please look at London, Stan. Please look at Europe now saying we need to start deporting people, where France is saying we have to deport people and we need to do it now because their countries cannot survive. You cannot empower unmitigated mass immigration. Last story in the Tower of Babel, and it's a sad one. It's Babel-esque. This is a guy in Gaza, apparently, a so-called Palestinian man, who is celebrating. The first sounds you'll hear are him celebrating their rockets being launched at Israel. The second sounds are when Israel's rockets landed near him.
Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar! Allahu Akbar!
Ya Jamaa, not that sound! Not that sound! Not that sound! Not that sound! Not that sound!
The lesson is we should all be reluctant to embrace war, all of us. Because God values human life. We were made in his image. And yeah, we can be good, happy for our guys that they do a good job, that they win. We have to. We're called to be great citizens. We are in a war against evil, and we are in the war. I mean, you know we're in the war, right? We're in the war. So, of course, I hope for them. But I also need to recognize, and we all do, that cheering war is a far different matter. And that is a wrap for today's Tower of Babel.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
I don't have anything to share with all of you at this time. And I'll just leave it there.
On a Disciple's View.
Yesterday, we played sounds of a liberal white woman wanting to make sure that her little girl grows up sufficiently hating cops. We really did. And it's a real video. And I know that there are people like this in these fallen cities because I've met them. So turnabout is fair play. This is the sounds of a New York police officer who is talking a man out of preventing of committing suicide. He's on a bridge, this man, facing down, ready to release himself to death.
I've been in your shoes, man. I've been in your shoes, man, right? It's not worth it, right? And listen, I'm a man, you're a man. You understand what I'm saying? And like I said, I've been in your shoes, brother. And there is solutions. There is way to actually get out of this situation. And I promise you, because we, as NYPD, we do have the resource. We have the resource, man. We have the resource. And I believe that you're a good man. You're a good man. And I promise you, brother, I promise you, we'll do anything in our power to help you. Please, listen to me. I've been in your shoes, brother. I've been in your shoes. And I promise you, we have the resources that you need. We have the resources, man. We will help you out. We will do our best. I promise you, brother. I care about you.
He keeps repeating, I care about you. I love you. Incidentally, I think we could all hear that the gentleman is an immigrant. There's nothing anti-immigration about saying we need to make sure that the people who come into our country are good people coming in because they understand the core of American exceptionalism, which means we are governed at our consent. That's the exceptionalism. So this gentleman succeeds in getting the man to back off a little bit, to get closer up to the fence, to not be leaning over the edge as some of his fellow officers are closing on the man. And they get the man off the bridge. They seize him. And that officer's there to talk him through, hey, we're with you. I'm going to keep my word. The aftermath of that man investing in a guy he never met, working so hard to save his life. This is the aftermath.
Brother, life is beautiful, brother. Just listen to my voice, brother.
Yes! He's getting him. Now listen to this officer. One of the poisons of the left and intersectional thinking is they describe human beings in group form. Cops are this. Nikki Haley is trying to split the difference between so-called Palestinians and Hamas. That's true. There are people who do not support Hamas. Can we tell the difference? Hamas is what? Hamas is a group. It has an expressed ideology. It's genocide. There are individuals within that group who don't hold that view. Cops are a group. It's a job. It's the inverse. Most every cop who straps it on and goes out to help us means us well. It's the inverse with Hamas. A friend of mine, he was an officer. He used to write his kids a check or give them cash every day before he left for work. It's a loan, he would say. I'll pick it up when I come home from a shift. It was a heck of a thing when his kids had to cash that check. No greater love has man than to lay down his life for his brother. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. This is the Disciples' View. I'm Todd Herman. Until we speak again, may God be with you and yours. Do you love